Patriots Tuesday here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Christian Arcan here, Andy Hart there on the WEEI afternoon show. And joining us right now, sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with five New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. The quarterback, the starting quarterback, the one, the only, Mr. Jacoby Brissett joins us here on the program. Jacoby, we got you.
Yep. How y'all doing? Thanks for having me.
We're doing great, but enough about us. How's that shoulder feeling? How's the body feeling there? You took a tough hit in that game on Sunday night. How's that all going?
Yeah, it's good. I think it was more of like a precautionary measure that everybody's kind of the buzz is about. But no, it's just, you know, I'm fine. I haven't got hit in 8 months, so it kind of surprised me more than anything. But I feel good, excited, ready for the season.
Jacoby, this may be a weird question, but oh, here we are. Are you the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots?
In my mind, I am.
Does that mean you will be starting against the Bengals?
Like I said, in my eyes, I am. I haven't heard anything differently, so that's what I got to go off of.
Okay, and that hit you took in coming out of the game or whatever, you don't believe or not haven't been told that that's going to play any sort of role in this? The trainers haven't intervened or anything like that? Just so we're all on the same page here.
Oh no, not at all. Like I said, it was a precautionary measure. I feel 100% fine. I'm good.
So has any of this been weird for you? Because I'm just going to be honest, from afar, this has been sort of strange from the spring through now. Whether you're the starting quarterback, you're QB1, there is no starter, Drake won the competition, has any of this, as a veteran who's been around a while, been weird to you?
I mean, nothing in this league has shocked me. I say that I've been in this league for a while, that nothing has shocked me, but man, I just get up and go to work every day, try my best, but I mean, those decisions, I don't make those decisions, so I think that's a Gerard question. So we'll see.
How would you grade your preseason, Jacoby? We didn't see as much of you as we saw some of the other quarterbacks, and you were only in there for the first quarter. But how would you sort of scouting yourself? How would you grade it?
Yeah, I mean, preseason I wouldn't say like, oh, it was like a definite reflection of what the training camp practices and OTA practices have been, because I'm in preseason. I mean, I'm not as in preseason as much as obviously the other guys, but preseason was, I guess, not great, average, whatever the case may be. But it, like I said, it wasn't. I felt like a reflection of what practice has been and how I've performed. So I feel good about what I put on film as far as practice and things like that. Obviously, you want a couple of plays back in preseason, but I think for the most part, I think preseason was for me was. Making sure that guys, because I've been in this offense before, so cleaning up the operation as far as in-game and getting in and out of the huddle, getting to the line of scrimmage, calling plays, and guys hearing it coming from me and ADP having that connection from back in when I was in Cleveland and how guys are going, how we're going to hear it on Sundays is going forward. So I thought went really well. So,
Some fans probably remember your first tour through here and your surprise start and the boot and the win and all of that.
Feels like only yesterday, doesn't it? Yeah.
Just yesterday. But remind people, when Jacoby Brissett is playing good football, football that he's proud of, what does it look like? What do you feel like you bring to this team in this offense?
Somebody that's tough, can make all the throws, throw on a run, despite what people think, I am mobile. obviously can't run. I'm not running in the preseason. I'm not trying to get, I'm trying to obviously preserve myself for the season. I got to take care of the football, gets our team in the right plays, runs and passes and things of that nature. So, I hate kind of this whole, like I have to talk about it and pump people up to I guess want me to play or enjoy me playing or whatever, but I don't like really fall into that trap. I think when I go out there and I think my play speaks for itself and I have years of good football on film that teams can and people can go watch it and understand why I'm the right person for this job.
So last year with Washington, it was you and Sam Howell were the two quarterbacks, and now you got his backup, which is sort of interesting going forward here. Are there any sort of lessons that maybe you took away from that experience last year that you're bringing into this season?
then I think I learned more football. I would say obviously being in a different offense and it's different situations than it was last year and things like that, as far as the actual on field football and getting a chance to learn from different coaches and other players and things like that. And I would say that, I didn't play much. I played in two games and I thought I played well. So, just trusting my talent, trusting what I can do. I mean, I went in two games where I didn't practice at all with the team or anything. And I went out there and played pretty well. So, just trusting myself and trusting my skill set.
Now, not to call you old or anything, but this is a young team and you are one of the elder statesmen. Is it sort of a mentor and leader? Is that a role that you embrace, even though it's, your first year back?
Yeah, I think that comes, that comes with, being a good teammate. It's helping other guys out and being a good person and being a good, obviously being one of the, I guess, like you say, one of the elders on the team. It's like, you got to be a leader. You want the guys to learn from you doing the right thing and stuff like that. So, I take pride in doing the right things on and off the field, getting myself ready to get on, to prepare and things like that. So I think that's a part of the nature because of the players that I was around and Tom and Philip Rivers and Andrew Luck, those guys who have done it at a very high level. So, yeah.
Competitions can get weird, certainly, especially at the quarterback position. We've heard stories about Manziel and Hoyer in Cleveland or Tua and Fitzpatrick in Miami. How is your relationship with Drake May as you've spent the last, 4, 5, 6 months with him?
Yeah, I think it's been good. Obviously, I was with Sam, who is like his best friend. So, and they're very similar guys. So, we've met before he was even on the team. So we've had a relationship, and obviously, it's not a final product, and we're still becoming closer and being around each other more and being able to talk. But we're around each other all the time. Obviously in the building and things like that. But, when we have downtime and stuff like that, we spend time together and things like that.
All right. Jacoby, with the offense being the main topic of discussion here, you're out there in practice every day competing against this Patriots defense and the starters on that defense. You have a unique sort of perspective into what kind of season you think they may have. How's the defense looking and what are they like to compete against?
It's been a lot of fun. Obviously the scheme has been one that's definitely tough to kind of go against on a week in and week out basis when you're playing against them. So going against them every day was definitely tough. We definitely presented a lot of challenges for us. But then you add in, some of the talented players on that defense where it's like, dang, now you got to compete against this guy as well too. So, it was a lot of fun. I think those guys had a really good training camp and I think they're building something special. And I'm looking forward to see, like I said, it's nothing is the final product right now. Everything is still – now you're still building and getting better for the duration of a season. So I'm excited to see where they match up at.
On some level, I guess every area of every team is a work in progress in August, but we've seen the offensive line have a lot of different combinations, have some struggles in terms of penalties, whatever. What have you seen from that group in front of you, and how hopeful are you that it can come together at a high enough level for regular season game action?
Yeah, I think I've seen a very, gritty group. Like you said, we put a lot of different guys in a lot of different situations. And again, it's the whole, the overreaction of preseason and things like that. And, we're not really, I wouldn't say we're really game planning anybody or running the stuff that we really practice that we're trying to, put forth as far as like when week one comes around. So it's about putting guys in the right position, because we've pretty much moved everybody around everywhere. So, putting guys in the right position that'll make them successful. And then, we put our plan together around that type of, that type of group. And then, I think I'm excited for that group, but to, prove a lot of people wrong, I would say. And I think I got a lot of faith in those guys that, they're going to come together, which I think they've shown in practice on a day in and day basis. It's like, we're not going to call every, everything's not going to be drop back pass every play or deep balls or quick game and things like that. It's like, I think that's the cool part about offense is you can change to manage, your strengths and weaknesses, as far as certain position groups and things like that. So I'm excited to see how it all unfolds.
All right. The QB question of the week is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. The QB question of the week comes to us from Doug in Alston Jacoby, and he wants to know, what's the hardest you've ever been hit? What players hit you the hardest in your NFL career?
Bad thing is I got hit a lot, so it's going to take me a while to...
That one year you led the league in getting sacked. I know. You probably got a few from that one, right?
Yeah. I would say probably my rookie year. I would say when Vince Wilfork, you know, kind of, I don't want to say he tackled me, but he landed on me. And I would probably say that was the hardest somebody has, I guess, like hit/landed on me. And that was the person that broke my thumb. And every time I see him, he makes that joke about it. But I would say Vince Wilford.
All right. That's a pretty good one. Pretty
oh, he's fair. A big guy. And that was the old days before they had the rule that they couldn't put their weight on you. So that would be a penalty now, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. These kids today get so coddled, don't they? They have no idea what you went
through. It's not even football anymore. Exactly.
All right. Well, Jacoby Brissett, thanks so much for the time. And good luck in the run-up here. And we look forward to seeing you if we see you week one.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Jacoby.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. That is Jacoby Brissett. For now, I should say. He says he believes he's the quarterback.
Yeah.
I think we all believe
he is. Is that fair to say? We may want something different, but I think if you asked people, who do you believe will start in Cincinnati, I think most people would say Jacoby Brissett.
All right, let's examine the difference in those two statements right after Stiz gets you updated on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Trending brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox lost both games of their doubleheader against the Blue Jays yesterday. Sox lost the afternoon game, which was a continuation of a suspended game from June. They lost that one 4-1. And then they lost again last night, 7-3. Nick Pivetta earned the loss, even though he finished the night with 10 strikeouts. Red Sox will play another three against Toronto. The next one goes down tonight. First pitch at 7:10 from Fenway Park. Cooper Criswell will take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. He'll face off against Yariel Rodriguez for the Jays. Joe Weil will get you ready for the game starting at 6:10 with the MassMutual pregame show. Don't forget, you can catch both the pregame and the game right here on WEEI, or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. After two seasons with New England, the Patriots have decided to move on from quarterback Bailey Zappe. According to multiple reports, Zappe has been informed of New England's intention to waive him. In the 2024 preseason, Zappe was 15 of 25 for 137 yards. Speaking of quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett just joined Hart and Arcan, WEEI's new afternoon show. He had this to say when asked about his relationship with Drake May.
It's been good. Obviously, I was with Sam, who is like his best friend. So, you know, we've met before he was even on the team. We've had a relationship, and obviously it's not a final product. And, you know, we're still becoming closer and being around each other more and being able to talk. But we're around each other all the time, obviously in the building and things like that. But, you know, when we have downtime and stuff like that, we spend time together and things like that.
Other Patriots news, both Cole Strange and Kendrick Bourne have been placed on the PUP list, and Adam Schefter is reporting that Joey Sly has won the kicking competition and New England will move on from 2023 fourth rounder Chad Ryland. Again, trending brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. How many birdies can you uncover? Find out today at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More WEEI's afternoon show coming up.
Yeah, I nailed it.
Perfect.
My first question I always envisioned in this role, asking the Patriots starting quarterback, would be, are you the starting quarterback?
Hey.
Yeah.
We asked Mac that a lot last year. I mean, you know, we weren't sure if he was going to be starting. Are you going to be starting? Is it going to be Zappe? Like, we didn't know. So this is, it's not like you're the first person to ask the starting quarterback if they're going to be the starting quarterback.
And in his mind, he is.
In his mind, he is.
In everybody's mind, he is.
Says that,
or is he?
Well, he says he hasn't heard anything otherwise.
Well,
Is that something they would tell him now? I mean, I don't think they'd tell him that until... You remember with Mac and Cam, it was like the very last minute before they finally cut Cam. It was today, I think, right? It was the cutdown day, and they lopped it. And then it's not going to happen to Brissett, obviously, but like it was very late in the process. It's not like they made a decision, you know, early on in the preseason. It happened at the end of the preseason.
And Gerard did tell the Greg Hill show on Mayo Monday that he wanted to tell the team.
Right.
So today they're off. So I'm guessing he hasn't told the team yet if they have made the decision, right? Like maybe 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, they'll have a team meeting and some announcement will be made. But it's just, this is such a weird world for where we came from.
I know.
Like, you would have, Tom, first question. Brady, yeah, you. Are you the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots?
Like, I think so. In my mind,
In my mind, I am. Actually, he used that for a deflate gate.
Somebody, in my mind, I didn't cheat, something like that.
Something.
Right?
Are you a cheater? In my mind, I'm not. He used in my mind. So look at that. We tied it all together.
We did. Who was that little sassy NBC reporter who kept asking him that? You remember that? Was that guy? Man. He was a national guy.
A little sassy. The way you said that was
He was very sassy. He was like, can you look us all in the eye, Tom? You're everybody's hero and tell us you're not a cheater. And he's like, shut up, dude. Like,
Christian, are you the host of the afternoon show on WEEI?
In my mind.
I hated that guy watching the Dynasty.
Yeah, right? That's that guy again. Who was that guy? I forget his name. Yeah.
Oh man.
Now I'm thinking about him and he's like a visceral reaction.
But no, I do think. Right now, everybody in their mind believes they're going to see Jacoby Brissett. Whether they want to see him or not is a different debate. Whether we should, whether he's the best, all of those are where like the conversations just go crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think if you polled most listeners, most media members, who do you expect to start against the Bengals? I think it would be a pretty strong majority that would be, should we do our first poll?
Sure.
Do we have a poll on the afternoon? Do we have social media yet?
We have social media.
Should we do our first social media poll?
It is changed over, and it is now the afternoon, WEEI afternoon, I think. Reese just retweeted, or he was aggregating one of our questions, and he tagged us in it, and I think it's at WE. Let me check.
I think we should do our first poll. So whoever runs the social media, because I'm not capable of that kind of crap.
I think that's probably me, but I don't know if I have the password. It's at WEEI afternoons.
Okay.
Yeah.
See if you can do a poll.
I cannot.
Do the first poll. Who do you expect to start at quarterback week one in Cincinnati?
Okay.
Expect. I need the word expect, not want.
I feel like this poll's been done before.
Probably has. Screw it. Not with us.
True.
Not for the afternoon show on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons has not released this poll question yet.
Under
it would be
that
new for
handle.
Us, yes.
Because I think the debate and the arguments all start after that. That's like, you know, even Gerard might want to argue for May, but he's probably resigned to the fact that the head coach of the offense, Alex Van Pelt, is going to start his guy, Jacoby Brissett, who's more pro-ready,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Could it be contingent maybe on them seeing the offensive line for a couple of weeks first? Like, I hate to put it that way because it sounds like you're just throwing Brissett out there to be
utterly disrespectful,
eaten alive. But, yeah. I mean, that's sort of, right? Like, what's the asset you're trying to protect more than the other one? Like, it's not, you know, not
to... Well, that's where I go back to the Orlovsky audio we played off the top of the show.
Right.
If I'm a Mac Jones fan... Oh, now they have to have what did he say? Plus weapons and plus O-line. We weren't arguing that when Mac was sucking, right?
Well, I was.
Well, some people were, yes. But the majority were just seeing a crappy quarterback make
Mac
interceptions,
sucks,
crappy
guy,
plays.
Blah, right.
So a rookie quarterback, he has to have a plus weapons and a plus line and a good play caller. Those three things, Dan Orlovsky said you got to have. But a year two quarterback, he can have a defensive coach calling plays.
Right.
Bad weapons and a bad line, and that's okay?
Yeah.
Like, no. This is why I don't use that standard for anyone.
I think
get your ass out there and play football. We hired you to play football, and if you're the best quarterback in this locker room, then you go out. Just like, is Javon Baker ready? He embarrassed himself in the middle of an NFL field by not catching the ball.
Sure.
Aren't they all going to get embarrassed if they're not ready?
Yes.
We've reached the day and age where there's replays, there's highlights, there's clips, there's all 22 crew. So even Laydon Robinson... When he gets embarrassed in the old days, maybe you kind of missed it because it's like, oh, he's a guard. He's starting. He must be fine. No. There will be the Evan Lazars and the Mike Giardis of the world doing clips of Laydon Robinson whiffing. So aren't they all sort of held to the same standard? If you're going to embarrass yourself, you're going to be known for embarrassing yourself.
Yes, but I think that also applies to Elliott Wolf and the front office and everybody who assembled this team. I mean, that's, you can't just let them off the hook and say, well, football players got to play football. If you have a rookie quarterback, I think it's on them, and it should have been much more of a of an objective for them to surround them with big talent. You know, I just think that, if that's the direction you were going in, which, by the way, I wasn't even all that into. I was fine with the idea of getting a veteran, not Brissett, but maybe somebody like Russell Wilson or something, and drafting Harrison and building up an offense and then drafting your quarterback next year in 2 years. That would have been okay with me. I think they probably would have won more games that way, but regardless, that's not what they did. They went with the rookie quarterback, and then they didn't do any of the other stuff. They didn't do any of it except for draft a second-round wide receiver who I like, but I'm not sure is exactly going to be this big game-breaker, especially considering who went ahead of him. So that, to me, is pretty upsetting, and I know that May be good. Like, he may be ready to play, and he may be ready to go out there and do it, but it takes a lot more than just the quarterback having talent to run an offense and to be successful. It's just, that's a small part of it, I feel like.
Do you believe job security plays a role in this decision?
Who's job security?
Alex Van Pelt, Elliott Wolf, Jerod Mayo.
This year, no. This year, no. This year, I think no one's going to lose their job.
No, but
I don't think no matter what happens, no matter who they pick or who they go with, they're going to fire somebody at the end of the year. I don't think so.
Well,
definitely not Mayo.
Definitely not Mayo. I would agree with that. I think Alex Van Pelt would
Van
be
Pelt
the most
could
likely.
End up being scapegoated
if it's a
this,
train wreck,
true,
he could
yeah.
be scapegoated.
He might be, yeah.
I always
wouldn't be
wonder
fair
that.
To him either,
no, it would not
think,
be fair, yeah. But I always wonder that, because I've even heard theories of, if we don't play Drake May all year, no matter what happens, there is an unknown and none of us can be fired. Because Elliott Wolf drafted Drake May, and if he hasn't played yet, then he may have drafted the next Peyton Manning, Josh Allen, right? So you can't fire him regardless of all the other moves. Alex Van Pelt, oh, well, we haven't given him the keys to the Mercedes yet, right? Like, give him a chance to have the Mercedes take it out of the garage. So I've heard this theory, and I do think human nature is survival, correct? And all their jobs are tied to Drake May.
True.
And coddling him, not coddling him, getting him out there soon. Now, that may actually be butt heads with the people who decide their jobs.
Right.
Because the crafts probably want wins and excitement and butts in the seats and not empty. I still go back to, and I know it snowed, but Bill Belichick's final game,
brutal.
To have 30,000 people in the stands and just it be a nothing burger.
I don't even think there was 30,000 people.
Maybe
there.
Not.
Yeah.
Like, that is just an ugly sight for Patriot Nation.
They didn't even do it. They didn't even put him on camera. Like,
right.
He just walked off the
just
field and
gross.
That was it.
Just yeah. gross.
And that game was so bad.
So yeah. I do wonder, it's all great. And I, you know, Dan Orlovsky is, I would assume, sort of altruistic. He's looking at it from a purely quarterback perspective.
Right.
How does my fellow fraternity member who's a quarterback get the most out of himself and have the best future? But Jerod Mayo and Elliott Wolf and Alex Van Pelt all have jobs on the line. And the Crafts have seats and billions and, you know, market share and all these other things on the line. And I wonder if those things seep into decisions like this.
Yeah, it certainly could. I also think it doesn't look great for the Crafts if they have to keep recycling, you know, rotating through all these people. It makes them look indecisive. Mm-hmm. It makes them look like they don't hire the right people. So they have to sort of protect their own image, too. And with Elliott Wolf, more than even so, the other two guys you just mentioned, they really waited before they made him the GM. They didn't make him the GM until after the draft was over. And it's like, all right, well, okay, so you finally decided he's the guy. You waited until all this stuff happened. You decided you liked it, and now he's the guy, and you're going to fire him at the end of the year? Like, that wouldn't look great for them as decision makers, I don't think.
But that's what losing causes.
Yeah.
And that's what ruining quarterbacks causes, or screwing up the pick of a quarterback. As you said, there were other alternatives. It wasn't just pick a quarterback. It was Joe Alt. It was Marvin Harrison. It was start and
trade back.
Trade yeah. back. What, right. Whatever. Yeah. Let
maybe
somebody else
get
trade
one
up.
Of the quarterback, if you trade back, you could have gotten somebody else. Yeah.
Giants wanted to trade up.
Mm-hmm.
So I do wonder, we tend to look at it very simplistically. Jerod Mayo. There was a competition. Who won the competition? It's still a business. It's still Jerod Mayo's making millions to coach, and Elliott Wolf is making, I don't know what Elliott Wolf's making, actually. I couldn't really even hazard a guess as to what he's making, but good money, and he probably would like to keep the title and the job and the office that come with it.
I would imagine.
And Alex Van Pelt had to wait 15 freaking years between coordinator jobs. This is like his make-or-break moment in his professional life. Those all have to seep into your decision-making.
Yeah, I would agree. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go to the phones here. Talk to Jay, who's in the car, who has a thought on the Patriots quarterbacks. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, Christian. I think it was you who the other day did a big breakdown on the difference between what happens when you start a rookie and what happens when you don't. And I think exclusion was. Like, it was a one-game difference. You know,
oh, for team, yeah, but right. It, no, no, really... Well, let me just say, it was. I did the last 10 years of quarterbacks who got drafted and played right away, and averaged out how the team was before that and how they were after the rookie year. And the aggregate of it all was that if you play your rookie quarterback, you get one game better than you were the year before. Ooh. If you average it all,
so five wins, and
one game better, so they could be a 5-win team this
Let's
year.
Let's go. Yes.
If the averages tell us anything, there was obviously outliers, but that's where it averaged out to. So go ahead, Jay.
So my thought is right now I like, you know, I think we all like the way Drake May has been looking, progressing, developing. Like it seems promising, and I think we have to give some credit to the people who have created that development pathway, which is the coaching. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but we certainly like the way that May has developed. He's certainly far better than he was when he came as a raw product out of North Carolina. My issue with you saying, hey, let's take Marvin Harrison and build the team around and then select our quarterback is, if you do that and the team becomes pretty good and the last piece is that quarterback, you're not drafting the third overall guy. You're not drafting at that level of talent. And that's why I like the pick of May. And think we may stink this year. Wouldn't mind if Jacoby played all year until the offensive line learned to line up properly. And then we get the first, second, third round pick again and get the tackle that we need and get the other component parts that we need.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Jay. Sorry, I thought he was done. But, yeah, and you're right. I mean, listen, if the team's good, then you're not going to be drafting in that position. You can trade into it. You know, the Niners did. It didn't work out for them, but it also didn't end up killing them either when they sent all those picks to get Drake May. Not Drake May.
Trey Lance.
Same.
We got Drake
same
May. I don't like that you're
names,
confusing
yes.
Trey Lance and Drake May.
Trey, they're both one syllable name. You know, it was
one's never going to be a starting quarterback, and one is your franchise QB.
No, I thought he looked good in that 5-interception, 2-fumble game that he had there at the end of the preseason.
I still say he was a running back in college. That's the biggest thing people miss, is he basically was a running back.
Yeah, pretty much. I think, you know, I agree with a lot of what the caller had to say there. I just think ultimately, you know, if you want to keep him out, if you want to put him in bubble wrap, if you want to make sure that he's not ready, he doesn't go and play until everything's completely built up all around him, then you're just burning a year of his rookie contract. And I also think you're also burning a year of experience. That's experience for him.
That's what I look at.
Make mistakes. That's when you learn from your mistakes. That's when you learn what works. You learn what sort of chemistry you have with different receivers. You learn when, you know, guys on the offensive line, as bad as it looks right now, who has strengths and weaknesses, how they like to block, you know, guys you can get around the corner with. This is a mobile quarterback. I mean, that's a relationship with the offensive line is very, very important, and you're just not going to get it if you sit them all year.
And I always go back to Peyton Manning. He led the NFL with a record 28 interceptions. The following year, he finished second in the MVP voting. If the guy is the guy, he's going to be okay, right? Like, there's going to be mental struggles, there's going to be physical struggles, but eventually he'll figure it out. And that's what you drafted in Drake May. And the reason I didn't like your backwards plan of doing it sort of inverse is I wasn't I don't love any of this year's quarterbacks. I'm way more sold on
you don't like Shadur?
No, I want no part of
Carson
Shadur
Beck.
Sanders.
You don't like Carson Beck?
Do not love him.
Okay.
Like him, don't love him. I like Drake May better than all those guys. Drake May was a guy that for the last 2 years was targeted as a top of the first round quarterback, a franchise quarterback, a modern quarterback. I think they got what you need. Now you just need to see if he's really as good as we expect him to be.
I feel like he had a higher stock after his freshman year. You know, that's sort of what. That's why I was down on him.
He did.
So but when then your sophomore year, you go out there and you're not as good, that doesn't make me feel
good.
Took
great. Away his lineman, his coordinator, and his best receiver. And it's like, go figure it out, kid. And if you believe the Patriots, that's where they fell in love with him. The struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing him go through the struggles. Seeing him not throw teammates under the bus in post-game interviews. Right? Being able to break down. There was a story on Yahoo where apparently the coaches went there to visit him at North Carolina, planned to watch his best game and his worst game, and he got to pick.
Yep.
He picked his worst game. It was NC State. It's a debacle that a lot of people have referenced
and
seen.
And he talked about it so long that he couldn't get to the good.
We never got to the good, and then, you know, they earned, like, he earned some respect from them with that. So I continue to say he has shown that maturity throughout this process in my mind. So has Jacoby Brissett as well. Like, there's been opportunities for him to be more dinkish and veteran-y dink kind of thing, and I said dink twice.
He sure did, yeah.
Very quick span there. But he hasn't been. They've got two guys that I think are relatively well-suited for an awkward situation. Kind of like you and I.
Yeah. Kind of like that. That's a good analogy there. Speaking of awkward situations, it's cut down a deadline in about 20 minutes here. We've seen some of the names already. Chad Ryland out, obviously. Kevin Harris was a bit of a surprise. Bailey Zappe is being released. Any comment on any of those guys or anybody else that you see or know is not going to be here?
No. I mean, Chad Ryland will best be known for making a kick that may have helped you get Drake May.
Right.
Because you might have had the second pick, and who knows, maybe you would have taken Dan. Who knows how that plays out in the future. Certainly worked out interestingly for Carolina and the Texans in a similar situation.
Right.
Kevin Harris, I liked him coming in. He just has done nothing. My guess is he'll
I thought
be
he made a great play in that Washington.
He
game.
Did, yeah. And maybe he'll be on the practice squad. They need depth at running back, and he can probably get through waivers. I know people have been trying to extrapolate from Bailey Zappe and the backup, and if you don't want to play May, then you'd want Bailey Zappe. He might be around in the practice squad. I personally wouldn't be. I would tell them to pound sand and screw off. I think he's been jerked around for the last year plus around here. There is no shot in hell I would re-sign with the practice squad if I were him.
Do you think he's going to get signed somewhere else?
I would sign with The Rock, the XFL, the UFL, a flag football league.
CFL,
the Olympics are coming.
Canada.
CFL.
Yeah.
Anywhere that asked me to do some work for them, I would say yes before I would say yes to returning to New England. I would not want any part
Why
of
do you think he's been so badly mistreated?
Because yeah. he hasn't been given an opportunity, and he knows it.
He got an opportunity last year. He played last year.
No, this year.
Well, this year, sure.
He got jerked around a little last year, but he re-signed with the practice squad. So mm-hmm. he was comfortable being here. He got to play. And then you remember the soundbite from the spring? Are you competing for the job? I've been told I was competing for the job. You know why he said that? Because then he reads the reps, and it's like, 20 for Brissett, 18 for May, 12 for Milton, 1 for Zappe. He never got a shot to compete.
I know. They should have maybe done this earlier and let him
yeah.
try and
I think he was just insurance to make sure there were no injuries or something crazy happened where they might need him.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, he will know. Bailey Zappe, we barely knew you. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We got some open phone lines for you, some calls on the line. We'll get to that next, and we'll hear what Bill Belichick said to the Pat McAfee show about Drake May and about the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. That's next. Pretty interesting week for Pat McAfee. Did you see him in Ireland or wherever that show was?
Yeah, drinking Guinness.
He like puked.
Oh, he
and
did?
Then, yeah. And then he introduced himself to the person he had been interviewing for 5 minutes. He's like, hey, I'm Pat McAfee. Or no, he introduced him. And he's like, and now we're here with this guy. And it's like, yeah, you've been interviewing me for 10 minutes. Dude. Oh. And also, did you see what Ryan Leaf said? Do you know this? Do you know anything about that? All right, so Ryan Leaf, we all remember. Quarterback, one of the all-time. When you look up bust in the dictionary, basically,
yep.
it's Ryan Leaf's right there. Ryan Leaf on Twitter alleges that McAfee is high 80% of the time on his TV show.
Really?
Yeah.
Like just marijuana.
I don't know how Ryan Leaf would know that.
Oh, well,
I mean, maybe
that's his world.
It is. But I don't know how he'd know that Pat McAfee was high.
I don't know. Ryan Leaf feels like an expert witness on drug use, correct?
I mean, that's a good point, yeah. So, but that just because you did a lot of drug doesn't mean you know when everyone else is doing drugs. You know, like, I don't...
I feel like you know.
Do you? Or is it just
like the signs, like how to cover it, trying to cover it, who's trying to cover it, who isn't? Like, I feel like you would know that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, listen, that's his opinion. I have no idea.
And does it matter? And does he just mean weed?
Would that matter to Disney? I think it would.
If it's just weed?
Even if it was just weed, yes. I feel like Disney wouldn't care for that.
I don't know. I think they look at the numbers and say, oh, yeah, smoke away.
How are those numbers? Is that show doing well?
I assume it does well, but am I wrong on that?
Well, they got Bill Belichick coming on there dropping gems like that, talking about don't worry about anything. The preseason doesn't matter. Everything's just sorted. All that matters is what happens in practice.
Yes, Diz, can you go back and look at all 20-plus years of Belichick's tenure and get all comments from him telling us how important the preseason is. Thank
never
you.
Important.
No. Never has been, never will be. It's just doesn't matter. You see a guy, he's out there, he looks good. Now, this is the same Bill Belichick who kind of poo-pooed the whole Drake May pick to begin with, right?
Oh, yeah.
He kind of came out there, he's like, well, you know, May's sort of a raw product, and we don't know about this, that, whatever. And now he's looking pretty good, and he's saying, well, don't read too much into that just because he was good in the preseason.
Oh, I like where you're going here.
Yeah, I mean,
but I would also
there's still a vested interest in Bill Belichick for the Patriots not to be good this year.
Hasn't Jacoby Brissett also, like, not looked good in the preseason? And he's facing teams that aren't playing defense, aren't scheming. Bill's telling you they're only playing man unless they're zone. Then they're only playing zone. Well, they're playing the same defenses. Actually, you know, slightly worse for May. But for the most part, they've been playing backups. All the teams they played didn't play their starters. Carolina rested like 35 guys. The Eagles didn't play anybody. And then Washington rested everybody. So you've both faced second and third tier players. So I don't know. I think the guy who's doing better is on equal footing with the other guy. He's doing better. Their line stinks. Both guys' line stinks. The one thing I will say is if David Andrews isn't on the field, that's not fair to either quarterback.
True.
To either quarterback. Beyond that,
the Leverett circle didn't inspire a lot of confidence.
I see what you did there. Yeah. I see what you did. And I don't think he's a guy they made into a center because the other guys they tried to make into centers suck.
Jake Andrews got hurt.
And then Mafi. And it was a
train. Right. Yeah,
Mafi couldn't do it. He was like all over the map. He just flat out, he had the yips. He was Chuck Knobloch. He was Rick Ankiel. He couldn't throw the ball. He couldn't get it to where it was supposed to go.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the preseason, I know it's meaningless, Bill, but it's all we have right now. And the practice field also, Drake May has looked really good at times. And Jacoby Brissett has not looked great on the practice field either at times. He's missed a lot of throws on the practice field, I would say. Now, some of that goes back to the line and everybody's under pressure and fake sacks.
Well, the first half dozen practices or so,
yes,
it was unanimous. Jacoby Brissett was the better quarterback, right? I mean, that's what everyone said.
Isn't that unfair?
Is it?
That was the first time Drake May had stepped into an NFL huddle with pads on, and Jacoby Brissett is running the same offense he ran 2 years ago with Alex Van Pelt. And he's got 10 years of experience under his belt. The guy started, what, 80 games in the NFL?
Sure.
Something crazy?
Mm-hmm.
That is not a fair fight. Once Drake May realized, oh, it's still 11-on-11, and I just still drop back and throw the ball, and if a guy runs at me, I run around him and run upfield. Once he realized it's still what he's capable of doing, Drake May's been the better quarterback.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I haven't been to any of these practices.
Damn it. It
certainly sounds that way. Bill Belichick did not stop there. He also had something to say about the Patriots and their pursuit of free agents. And it almost sounded like it was Robbie's channeling Robert Kraft here. Here's Belichick.
What's that millionaires tax about?
Yeah, they have what's that
all about? That's strictly New England or what? It's Taxachusetts.
Yeah.
That's I haven't heard that.
So, virtually every player, even the practice squad, even the minimum players are pretty close to $1 million. And so once you hit that $1 million threshold, then you pay more state tax in Massachusetts. So, just another thing you got to contend with in negotiations up there. It's not like Tennessee or, Florida or Nevada or some of these teams that have no state income tax. So you get hit pretty hard on that. With the agents, they'll come and sledgehammer you down about, the types of tax they're paying. We don't get any benefit from that.
That's good business, baby, for Massachusetts and from the agents. But
it's funny that he goes on about the Taxachusetts thing. It's because, well, maybe you shouldn't lowball everybody then, considering you have all this extra stuff to do. And maybe you shouldn't be throwing out these lowball offers because you know what? New York has a millionaire's tax. California has a millionaire's tax. And for some reason, I feel like they're not having the same problems attracting free agents that you are. Christian McCaffrey just re-signed with the 49ers on a huge contract that he's going to have to pay the millionaire's tax on. He's fine with that because that team doesn't suck. That's what this is about. And also, they didn't lowball him. They didn't give him some insulting offer and say, hey, why don't you stick around here? And by the way, with all the Patriots who are already on the team that re-signed and got above-market contracts in a lot of cases, guys like Uche and Stevenson and all these people who got paid in the offseason, they were fine staying here, right? Like, they were fine staying in New England, staying in Massachusetts, because they got paid. They got paid above, in some cases, right at what the market should have borne. And with Bill Belichick and his time here, it was very, very rare that he ever did that. Adalius Thomas and Steph Gilmore are, like, the only two examples I can think of. Maybe Rosie Colvin all the way back in 04 or 05, whenever that was. But that's it. I mean, that's really it. There's no other examples.
So, Gerard Mayo has been right with this. We'll be more attractive when we win some games.
Right.
When Drake May is playing and if we're winning games, suddenly people... Because, correct me if I'm wrong, because I just Googled it. It's what popped up. Somebody said this to me in my timeline today. It's 4%. It's $40,000
mm-hmm.
on a million.
Yep.
$40,000. You think a guy's not going to come here for $40,000?
I do not think that, no.
Like, Brandon Ayuk was going to make a boatload. He didn't want to come here because he's like, I don't want to play for that team.
Right.
It won't be fun. We're not going to win anything. I don't even know who the quarterback is. In fact, I'm probably guaranteed to see at least two quarterbacks this year. Like, no, I don't want to sign up for that. So I think this gets overblown a little bit. If you have the if you're a good team or a competitive team, people will want to come. And if you pay them market value and you combine those two factors together, and then you're really sitting pretty. You're a good team with money to spend. Then you won't be that next spring, so you're going to have to overpay.
Yeah.
Tack on $40K for every million you put in the contract.
We are about 5 or 6 minutes away from the deadline to cut the team down to 53 players. There are 57 players on the roster right now. That means there's four guys on the bubble who are going to be sent home, unfortunately. We'll find out who they are in just a few minutes. But first, let's take a call here before the break. Armon is in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Armon.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Congrats on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just had a comment based on what you guys are saying as far as coaching for their jobs. So I was thinking reverse psychology. They're going to get a pass this season no matter who they start. Mm. If they start May, though, suddenly next year you have expectations. What if they're just starting per set? Because then they think, well, guess what? Next year will be May's first year starting, so we're going to get a pass this year and a pass next year.
I mean, that's entirely possible. I hope that's not the way they're looking at it, because that sucks for the fans.
I've heard a lot of these theories.
I mean, that's not a terrible
theory. These psychologies and... Because they're human beings.
Right, and we're talking about job security. That's what you mentioned. Not about, you know, the team being good, not about winning games, not about making the playoffs. Job security for these guys. And if they have two, you know, do-over years, then yeah, sure. That's a good way to at least be able to say, hey, what do you want from us? This wasn't supposed to be a competitive season.
And I don't think you could ever prove this. They'd never be dumb enough to admit it to anybody. Maybe their wives. Maybe if you were in tight with their wives. But I do think there's a possibility that some of these things creep, especially if it's like a deal, like a tiebreaker kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really thought Drake May, oh my God, we never saw that. He's way more ready than we ever thought. He's going to win 10 games by himself on the football field. If you thought that, you play him, because then you look like a genius.
Yeah.
Because then Alex Van Pelt is like, I took Drake May from raw prospects, see Bill Belichick and Dan Orlovsky, and I made him a 10-game winner as a rookie. Now you might be a head coach in a couple of years. But if it's not that obvious and there's like a decision to be made, a crossroads at a decision, maybe you err on the side that the way that keeps you employed for a year or two longer.
All right. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we will be joined by the number one cornerback on this team. We had the quarterback earlier. Now we're going to talk to the number one corner, and that's Jonathan Jones. He joins us when we come back.